We are answering Bible questions on Wednesday night. We have 60 of them. And what these are, they are questions that I wrote down at random. There's no order to them. There's no system to them. Just as they came to mind. But what they are, they're questions that people have asked over the years, things that Christians are interested in. Is it all right for a Christian to do this? Is this right? Is that wrong? What does the Bible say about so-and-so? Those kind of things. And so we're trying to answer some of the most often asked questions. And what we're doing, we're not trying to give you an exhaustive answer, just 5 or 10 minutes on each one to give you a good foundation so you'll know what the Bible teaches and give you enough references so that if you want to study it yourself, you'll have a good place to get started. Some of the questions we still have to answer in the future are, what about mixing the races? What about women and jewelry? What about education? What about confession of sin? Where is heaven? What about slavery? What about demon possession? What about UFOs? We're going to answer all those questions on Wednesday night. So if those kind of things interest you, you need to be here on Wednesday night. And I don't know exactly what order we'll get to all those, but as they come up, we'll try and answer them for you. Tonight, the first question we're going to deal with tonight is found in James chapter 5, verse 13. And the question is, what does the Bible say about divine healing? James chapter 5, what does the Bible say about divine healing? Let's start in verse 13 of James chapter 5. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any among you is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, in 1995, you can get just about any interpretation you want from some kook someplace. You go down to the local Christian bookstore, more aptly local religious bookstore, and look on the shelf for healing, and everybody and his brother has got a book down there, and 99% of them are charismatic. And they think that one of the greatest things God does in this dispensation is heal your physical body, which is nonsense. The thing that God healed was my soul, and that's the thing that I was interested in. If God healed all our ailments and all of our sicknesses, and we turned right around and got sick again, I mean, what is the point? You're going to die anyway. I mean, if God healed everything that was wrong with you, you'd live forever. Amen. He's not going to do that. And so there's a lot of to-do about divine healing, and there's all kind of divine healers running all over the countryside. Ernest Ainsley and Shambach. And I took some of the men one time, went up to hear Shambach, and we sat over there at the Winthrop Coliseum thing. Shambach came in, and they had a couple, 3 hours of testimony, and they had a lot of singing. They had a lot of shouting. He had brown buckets, blue buckets, white buckets, and green buckets. And he took up an offering with each kind of bucket. I'm serious, a heart attack. Passed them buckets around. Blue bucket was to help buy a new tent. He don't meet in a tent anymore. The green bucket was to buy new tires for the truck. You know, truck tire cost $200 a piece. He took up an offering from 3,000 people, $100 a piece. He can outfit that thing from now till Jesus comes. Amen. And they took up all kind of offerings. 2 or 3 hours of singing and shouting and testimony, and then about 15 minutes of so-called preaching and another hour of divine healing. They had all the people that were sick, lame, crippled, and crazy line up in a line and come down, and old Shambach could say some mumbo-jumbo over them, put his hand on their forehead, you know, and holler, "Be healed!" And they was all healed. Gorters went down, legs got longer, teeth grew back, you know. Of course, now, he never raised the dead. He never made eyes come back in empty sockets. He never put on arms that were missing. See, he just did things you could fake real easy. See? And the reason for that is he's just as phony as a $3 bill. In the Bible, there are no divine healers. There's divine healing. That is, sometimes in answer to prayer, God heals people of their sickness. But he doesn't have to rent a coliseum. He doesn't have to get a showman. He doesn't have to take $30,000 worth of offerings.
Amen.
He doesn't have to make you stand in line for 3 or 4 hours. Amen. They said, well, doesn't some people have the gift of healing? Yes, according to the Bible, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9, there's the gift of healing. I don't know how that works. I know that sometimes God enables certain people to help other people. If God gave me the gift of healing tonight, as soon as this service was over, I'd be at Piedmont Medical. I'd be in the oncology ward. And there wouldn't be a single person in Piedmont Medical in the morning with cancer. I'd empty the house. Give me the gift of healing, and I'll get all them cancer victims. Then I would head down to the local children's hospital, and all them little crippled youngins, and them kids with no spines, and cleft palates, and waterhead, I'd heal every one of them. Amen. And we wouldn't have to have a line. We wouldn't have to charge a fee. I'd do it free gratis. If God gave me the gift of healing, you wouldn't find me doing what Jimmy Swaggart and the boys are doing. Amen. Them guys are phony. They're fakes. They're frauds. People say, oh, preacher, you ought to be careful talking like that. I've been talking like that for 20 years, and God ain't killed me for it yet. Matter of fact, he hasn't even given me a bad conscience about it. The truth is, the more I do it, sometimes I just enjoy it. Amen. Anybody thinks Jimmy Swaggart is a divine healer? He might be a divine feeler, but he's not a divine healer. Amen. The people are crazy. Now look, in the passage we just read, verse 13, it says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Okay? You got an affliction? Pray about it. Now there's a difference between an affliction and what we generally consider a sickness. An affliction would be like eyes that flutter all the time, you know. That's an affliction, man. Dr. Jack Hiles had an affliction. He was born without this little flapper valve that covers the tube to the stomach. And if you ever heard Dr. Hiles preach, it's hard to listen to him because he was always coughing and you know, clearing because the gases in his stomach were all bubbling up in his throat. He lived with that thing for, that's an affliction. He kept praying about it and kept praying about it. Anybody heard him preach in the last 3-4 years? Absolutely perfect. God healed him. He was born without it and for over 60 years didn't have it. And he kept on preaching and serving God anyway, as hard as it was to preach and as hard as it was to listen to him. He just stayed faithful, prayed about that, and God healed it. Is any afflicted? Let him pray. You got a problem, something that aggravates you, something that bothers you, something that slows you down or hampers you, pray about it. Sometimes God will fix it. Amen. Then in verse 14, is any sick among you? Anybody sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. I mean, you got a sick. I mean, so you go down to the doctor or something, and they say, listen, you got a tumor, you got cancer, your liver is gone, your pancreas is gone. The first thing to do, pal, is call the preacher and the deacons, and they listen. You boys, get on down here and get down here right now. Amen. Why? Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. Right? And then what's supposed to happen? Anoint him with oil, and then we expect God to heal. Amen? All right, so if you're sick and it's a serious thing, or what, you call for the elders of the church, let them pray over you, anoint you with oil, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Whose prayer is that? Why, that's the elders of the church. They've got to believe that God will heal. Now, you say, well, preacher, I've seen that done. It didn't work. Well, so have I. I've done that thing in my ministry 4 or 5 times now. Somebody wanted to be prayed for and anointed with oil. And we anointed them and we prayed over them. And a couple of times it worked. A couple of times it didn't. All depends on God. It's not a surefire thing. It's not a guaranteed thing. But I tell you what, if I was real sick, I guarantee you he'll be trying it. Amen. I know 3 or 4 fellas I think love God and live right and can get a prayer through. And if I was sick and in real bad trouble, I guarantee you I'd be on the telephone and I'd get me Bobby Utley and I'd get James Lentz and a couple other fellas I know, and I'd say, listen, are you boys getting your car? I'll buy the gas. I want you at my house tonight. Tonight. Amen. And bring your faith with you. Now, there are no divine healers, but God does heal people. That's divine healing. There's a lot of difference between the divine healer and divine healing. Okay? And so the Bible position on that thing is that we're supposed to pray one for another. Look in verse 15. And the prayer of faith shall say the sick, the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. Listen, you come in here and say, preacher, my wife's got a cold. How about praying for her? Or she's got the flu. Pray for her. We pray. Why? Because God heals sometimes. Amen? I don't know when God will and when God won't. All I know is he said, if you're sick, pray one for another. And so we pray. And if God heals, we say, glory to God. God touched them. Amen? Sometimes God does the healing through the medicine. And I don't know how God does it. All I know is God will do it when it pleases God and glorifies him. God said, you have not because you ask not, and you have not because you ask amiss. Sometimes we pray wrong. We pray for the wrong reason, and so God doesn't answer it. But boy, I'd sure be trying. Amen? Now, oh, by the way, let me say this. Look there in verse 16, and we'll move on right quick. Confess your faults one to another. You got that? And then pray one for another. It does not say, mark this down, put your red line in your Bible or something. It does not say, confess your sins one to another. And it doesn't say in any place else either. I know churches, God bless their well-intentioned but ignorant heart, that have confession services. Because they say, the Bible teaches that we confess our sins one to another. It doesn't teach that. It doesn't say that. It doesn't imply that. God knows that's stupid. And God's not stupid. I know a church where a lady stood up in the congregation because they were having a confession service, and she said, I'd just like to confess that I've lusted after every man in the church. You know how that went over, don't you? All the ladies in the church just love her. I thought, who in the world could be that stupid? One, it's hard to believe that it's true, but if it was, why in the world would you tell anybody? Amen. Listen, folks, there's some things you ought to keep to yourself. Amen. Now, a fault and a sin aren't the same thing. You can have a fault. You can be too quick on the trigger. You can fly off the handle. That's a fault. See? You can confess and say, I wish you'd pray for me that I have better control of my temper. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Amen. But don't tell all the brethren all the dirty, rotten things you've been doing or thinking. If you want to confess your sin, you confess them to God. God can forgive sin. God can blot out sin. God can give peace about sin. God can clear your conscience about sin. But you don't need to tell anybody else. If you've messed up and done something wicked or horrible or terrible, you keep it between you and God Almighty. Now, if it happens to be one of them things that you can't just live with, then you confess it to the preacher in confidence. But you sure don't want to stand up in the congregation. You sure don't want to tell your best friend, because they'll hold it against you.